Welcome to the Free Lawyer Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Miles. The Free Lawyer Podcast is designed for the lawyer, entrepreneur, or professional who is in some way unfulfilled, stressed, or stuck, and is looking for something better. We will discuss various blocks that limit us from achieving the personal freedom that we all desire, but have not yet fully experienced. And we will give actionable steps to free yourself from them. Are you looking to achieve a new level of success? If so, this podcast is for you. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate each of you, and I'm so glad you can join me and join me on this and other Mondays. You know, I'm really amazed. I started this podcast in February 22, and I have over 200 episodes so far. I think this is episode 205. It just astonishes me that we've come this far, and we've come this far together because each episode, each month, more and more of you listen and appreciate this podcast. And I thank you for that because that's what keeps me going. That and your ratings and reviews. There are so many nice reviews that you all have written of the podcast. And just a favor that you could do for me, if you appreciate the message that I share, if you find this in some way beneficial to you, then I greatly appreciate it if you could go to your site, whether it's Apple or Spotify, and leave me a rating and review. That would mean so much to me. And also, if you know someone who might benefit from this podcast, please share it. Share it with them. You know, that's why I do this podcast. That's why I wrote my book, Breaking Free. If you haven't gotten your hands on it yet, grab a copy. You'll find it so helpful to you. I get so many comments from so many about how the chapters in there on perfectionism and people-pleasing and self-doubt and all the other chapters are so beneficial. So check that out. You know, today's going to be a challenging episode. It's going to be a little bit longer than most. And it's challenging for me in part because I'm sharing some very personal information about me and my story and my history, because we're going to talk today about the difficult topic of mental health in the legal profession and recovery and wellness and addiction. And I'm going to share my story of addiction with you and talk about some of the problems in our legal profession and give you five tips for you to think about if you or anyone you know, whether they're lawyers or not, ever struggle with some mental health issue. So let's get started. I always like to start with a quote, and I love this Zen proverb. Just when the caterpillar thought the world was over, it became a butterfly. And that truly is the message of recovery from addiction or mental health. Seems like the world is over, and then a butterfly pops out. So a couple of questions for you. Have you yourself ever struggled with depression or anxiety or resorted to substances as a result of the stresses in your profession? Or more likely, do you know of any colleagues who have? Have you or anyone you know or care about ever felt hopeless or that you lost control or that there is some power running your life that was stronger than you or that you are controlled by some other force that was holding you back? If so, you're not alone. In the legal profession, it's common, actually, to grapple with overwhelming challenges of addiction, substance abuse, depression, and other mental health issues. And too often, those struggles are hidden. And those who suffer feel isolated and hopeless and alone. But this is my message today. There is hope, and you're never alone in this journey. In today's episode, I'm going to highlight the causes of the mental health challenges in our profession and their effects on lawyers, firms, and indeed our entire profession. I'm going to share my battles with addiction and my path to recovery. But I'm also going to share five fundamental principles that can lead you or someone you know and love or a colleague or someone you know of to a path of health and wellness and recovery. I believe in the power of transformation. And it's my passion to shed light on this critical issue within our legal community. What are the challenges to lawyer well-being? Our profession is no stranger to immense pressures and unique stresses. Studies have shown there are very high rates of alcohol and substance abuse among lawyers compared to the general population. And even more frightening, we have a higher risk of suicide compared to other professions. It's a real severe problem of untreated mental health issues among lawyers. And they can affect our ability to provide effective legal counsel and to maintain professionalism and ethics. It's one of the major causes of malpractice claims and grievances are addiction or mental health issues. The ABA did a study in 2017 on its National Task Force on Lawyer Well-being and some startling figures. 21 to 30%, 36% of lawyers are problem drinkers. 25% are addicted to work. 23% suffer from elevated distress. 28% experience deprivation, sleep deprivation, work-life imbalance, job dissatisfaction are all too common. And it's just gotten worse. A more recent study finds that the prevalence and severity of depression and anxiety and risky drinking were even much higher among women lawyers than male lawyers. And about one quarter of all women think about leaving the profession due to mental health concerns, and about 17% of men. It's a pretty daunting picture, isn't it? What are the causes of these mental health challenges that we face in our profession? Well, there are so many, and they're really very familiar to us, aren't they? Our high stress and pressure. We face high levels of stress and pressure every day with demanding workloads, tight deadlines, the need to be precise, if not perfect, in our legal work. And it gets worse because we're so often in an adversarial relationship with a colleague, with another lawyer. They're on one side of the case and we're on the other. I did trial work for 45 years, and I was always in a situation of conflict. It might be professional conflict, but it was conflict. There were winners and losers and difficult negotiations. Two, long working hours. The hours that so many of us work are simply overwhelming, aren't they? We feel need to bill hours to make our billable hour limits, and it's so stressful, and it can lead to burnout and impact our work-life balance. Three, competition and perfectionism. The competitive nature of our field can itself foster a culture of perfection. We feel we have to be perfect. We have to bill more hours. We're competing with other lawyers in our firm. We're competing with other lawyers on the other side of the case. And we feel compelled to achieve nearly flawless results. And that leads to anxiety and stress whenever we perceive any shortcomings or failings or obstacles. Lack of support and stigma. The legal profession lacks adequate support systems for lawyers facing mental health challenges. Fear of stigma and professional repercussions deter many from seeking help, leading to untreated issues. I chaired the Lawyer Assistance Committee in my area in Maryland for about 20 years. And that was one of the major hurdles to having lawyers who needed support accepted. They were afraid of the stigma. Isolation. Lawyers feel so isolated in their struggles. We feel alone in our law firms. We feel we have no one to talk to. And sometimes we think we're the only ones facing mental health challenges. And that isolation can prevent us from reaching out for support or discussing our issues openly. Billable hour pressures. The billable hour system in law firms leads to a relentless focus on billing targets, which can compromise the well-being of lawyers as we strive to meet these targets. Lack of self-care. With all this going on, we put ourselves last. We neglect self-care practices because of our busy schedules, and it leads to physical and mental health neglect. And that neglect contributes to the deterioration of our mental well-being. We've experienced all these, haven't we? High stress, pressure, long working hours, competition, perfectionism, stigma, isolation, billing hour pressure, a lack of self-care. So what happens as a result? We may turn to substances like alcohol or drugs as a way to cope with stress, anxiety, and depression. And those can create a cycle of substance abuse and exacerbate our mental health issues. How do these mental health challenges affect lawyers and our profession? You know, mental health issues and substance abuse problems have far-reaching effects on our profession. And they can impact individual lawyers, law firms, and indeed our profession and the legal system as a whole. And these are some of the ways: impaired performance. You know, when we grapple with mental health issues or addiction, there's a real decline, obviously, in our professional performance. It can show itself as decreased productivity, errors, missed deadlines, or poor decision-making. Two, reduce client trust. Clients rely on their lawyers to provide competent and reliable legal counsel. Mental health issues, substance abuse problems erode client trust and confidence in their lawyers' abilities, and that leads to client dissatisfaction and disputes. Ethical concerns. Some of the most serious malpractice claims and ethical violations arise out of a lawyer's mental health challenges. Impaired judgment and decision-making can lead to ethical lapses, resulting in disciplinary actions, grievances, or the like. And so there's an increased risk of malpractice claims. The combination of impaired performance and ethical concerns raises the risk of malpractice claims against lawyers. And that leads to legal and financial consequences for the lawyer and the law firm. And studies have shown the overwhelming percentage of malpractice claims that arise out of addiction or mental health issues. High turnover and burnout. You know, so many lawyers leave the profession because of the stress and the burnout and the mental health challenges that they face trying to practice law. And that leads to increased attrition rates, leaving law firms, and that creates an expense and burden for law firms and the profession. There can be a negative workplace culture. When mental health issues and substance abuse are not addressed, there can be a toxic workplace culture, which can result in decreased morale, higher stress levels, and conflicts in the workplace. Work-life balance is affected. When we struggle with mental health issues, it's hard to maintain a healthy work-life balance. It can lead to strained personal relationships, which just make things worse. There's more absenteeism as lawyers struggle with those challenges. There's a high risk of attrition. People either leave the law firm or leave the practice altogether. And one of the worst is stigma and secrecy. The stigma surrounding mental health and substance abuse in the legal profession will lead lawyers to hide their struggles. And that secrecy prevents individuals from seeking help and perpetuates the problem. And they perceive that there's a stigma in handling these mental health issues and seeking help. And that just makes it worse. The legal profession has to prioritize mental health awareness and provide resources and support for those of us in need and foster a culture that encourages seeking help without fear of stigma or retaliation. This is really crucial for the well-being of lawyers and essential for maintaining the integrity of our system. And I know the Maryland Lawyer Assistance Committee is an example of something that really works. The Maryland State Bar Association has paid professionals on their staff who will help someone in recovery or seeking to overcome these problems. The Lawyers Assistance Committee is composed of lawyers with a background in addiction and recovery who will help and support the lawyer in need confidentially, secretly, so that there's no concern about the stigma. I'd like to share a little bit about my recovery story, and it's a little bit of a challenge to do this because it's very, very personal, but I think it's important to see where addiction took me and where recovery has taken me today. You know, we can have a life where we are physically healthy and mentally thriving. You know, we can contribute to society and solve our clients' problems. We can feel connected and find fulfillment. We can be engaged at work and willing to seek help. And as my story will show, there is a path to recovery and well-being for lawyers. You know, I initially saw alcohol as a social pastime. But as time went on, I found myself caught in a vicious cycle of addiction, feeling completely powerless over alcohol. What was once fun and social turned into a daily struggle. My drinking became uncontrollable, affecting my personal and my professional life. You know, I was born in a wonderful middle-class home in suburban Baltimore. I had a wonderful family. Drinking was part of our culture and something that was just normal and everyday and expected. And when I married and moved out of my home, you know, I came home from my law office and I had a nightly drink as my parents did. It was, from my perspective, my choice at that time. But sometime I crossed the line. I don't know when it happened, but at some point, it became something I had to do rather than something I chose to do. I would decide to have only one drink, but I'd have many more. I decided I wouldn't have a drink at all, and instead I'd have many. I had lost the ability to control my drinking. I was truly powerless over alcohol. What had once been fun and social now was scary and drudgery. I got drunk on almost a nightly basis. I woke up at 4 a.m. every morning with tired eyes, red-faced, a pounding headache, sweating, wondering how did I do it yet again? I'd toss and turn and not be able to get back to sleep. I'd go to the office and not be present mentally. I'd be shaking or scared. My performance suffered. I began to decide almost every day that I was not going to drink that day. But during the day, that resolve would fade. And I'd decide tonight will be different. Tonight I can drink successfully. But it was never different. I'd get drunk yet again. And my drinking became progressive, controlling, excessive, and problematic. I'd find ways to be away from my family to drink. Finally, I told my then wife I wasn't drinking any longer. I was going to stop and I meant it, but I wasn't able to. So I found a way to drink secretly in my home, to get drunk almost daily, but to act as if I was sober. It wasn't easy. It wasn't fun. In fact, it was hell. And the worst is I began to be consumed by fear. I was afraid of things that weren't scary, such as a friend walking down the street or receiving the Daily Mail. I was consumed by pain, guilt, shame, and remorse. I decided not to drink, but I was utterly powerless. Drinking became a 24/7 problem for me, waking up hungover and sick, deciding I wasn't going to drink, wrestling with that issue, convincing myself today will be different, and then figure out how I could drink and get drunk without getting caught. Drinking in secret, getting drunk, passing out, and beginning that terrible, horrible cycle all over again. Finally, an event caused me to realize I simply couldn't go on anymore. I couldn't imagine my life drinking as I had been, but I wasn't able to visualize not drinking. I was torn because I couldn't see myself drinking. I couldn't see myself stopping drinking. I had a very intense personal conversation at a family party with my 15-year-old goddaughter and niece. The following day, I remembered nothing of the conversation. I remember nothing of it today. That was the first time I had what I later learned was a blackout and scared me. You know, in our field, I rely on my mental prowess for success. And to think I couldn't remember something as important as that from the night before was frightening. My father had preceded me into recovery and had given me a director of recovery meetings. And I decided that Monday, many years ago, to attend my first recovery meeting. I realized I wanted what they had. They were happy, hopeful, honest, sincere, and accountable. And I was none of those. If it worked for them, it could work for me. Their stories lifted me, encouraged me, and gave me hope. I began to envision a life without the obsession and compulsion to drink. I then began an active program of recovery, and it truly has genuinely transformed my life. I enjoy more confidence, more hope, responsibility, and accountability. I ran a very successful law practice. I was focused, respectful, and compassionate. Sobriety has washed away the terrible fear that I felt every day. But the greatest gift of all is I no longer have to drink. That overwhelming obsession and compulsion to drink has been truly lifted from me. Alcohol has no power in my life anymore, as long as I remain active in a spiritual program of recovery. You know, there are tools for those who want to get better. I've seen some fantastic miracles of recovery, growth, and transformation. It works. It worked for me. It's worked for others. It will work for anyone who wants a better life. The stories of recovery that I heard fueled my transformation, and I'll continue to enjoy those gifts as long as I do a few simple things. Practicing my recovery program, remaining spiritually sound, not picking up the first drink, and being of service to others. You know, I've been freed from the prison in which alcohol trapped me, and I can now have a happy, joyous, and free life. You know, I love my work with the Maryland State Bar Association's Lawyer Assistance Committee. It actively, but confidentially, anonymously, sought to help attorneys, judges, and law students in Maryland with mental health issues, whether it's depression, anxiety, or addiction. And there are similar committees in every state. There's help available to you wherever you are or to any friend or colleague of yours. Do you or someone you know care about or work with struggle with addiction, substance abuse, depression, or stress? If so, let me give you five basic keys that will offer hope and freedom to you or your colleague from the prison of addiction, substance abuse, depression, or stress. The first is to know that you're never alone. You know, when I was in my prison of addiction, I felt that I was the only one. No one was like me. It was a terrible secret, but I learned there's a world full of people who've experienced what I did, shared my feelings, been where I was, and who created a beautiful new life. You too are not the only one. Others have been where you are now and who are willing to help. Two, it does not have to be this way. I felt hopeless. I could not see the solution. For me, I had no vision of a world where I was not controlled by alcohol, but I've learned that wherever you are, whatever pain you're feeling, whatever prison traps you, it does not have to be that way. Three, there's always a solution. You may feel hopeless, but trust me, there's an answer always. Four, there's help. Many men and women have experienced what you have and transformed their lives. They will help and support you. They're professionals trained to help those suffering from mental health issues who can show you a better way. They're resources through your bar association, through committees like the Lawyer Assistance Committee. And five, willingness is the key. If you want to enjoy a different life, if you want to be freed, if you want to enjoy a life where you feel comfortable, free, happy, you can have it. You simply have to be willing to ask. You have to seek support on a confidential basis. Tell someone you know where you are, what's going on, and how you're struggling. Open yourself to that person and say, I need help. The solution will then present itself. So remember these five keys. You are never alone. It doesn't have to be that way. There's always a solution. There is help, and willingness is the key. You know, life may seem very dark at times. Our practice may seem overwhelming. We may be consumed by stress. We may resort to substances or activities we don't like, but it doesn't have to be that way. There is a solution, and you can find it. You know, mental health is a very complicated topic that many prefer to avoid discussing. And candidly, I found doing this episode a bit of a challenge. It's not as pleasant as some. It's a difficult topic to discuss, but I know how critically important it is. You know, my life has been truly transformed, and yours can be as well. You're never alone. Feeling isolated in the dark moments is so easy. And if any of you are suffering, or if you have a loved one or someone you care about who is, know that there's a solution if they're willing to ask for help. By embracing these principles and seeking support, we all can find our path to a free life. Together, we can become butterflies, soaring above the challenges and embracing the beauty of a life well lived. I want to thank you for your patience for listening to me today. You know, sharing such personal stuff isn't really easy, honestly, but I think it's important. And I think it's important to know that there are groups like lawyer assistance committees that will help you, and trained professionals at your bar association who will support you. Because if you want something different than what you have now, you can have it. You can have it. It can be that life that you've already dreamed. You know, I call this the free lure, and I say it so much. It's because it's about how you can find personal freedom in your life. And one is to escape the prison of depression or addiction, which can just destroy our life on many, many levels. And you can be freed from that prison if you want it. Just be willing to ask for help. Thank you so very much for your patience and tolerance with me today. I appreciate it. I appreciate all of your support. And I thank you for listening to me today. As always, please be well, be safe, and be free. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Free Lawyer Podcast. Wherever you are listening, if you enjoyed what I shared, please leave me a rating and review. I would appreciate hearing more about what you like best and what topics you might like me to cover in future episodes. If you are interested in experiencing a more fulfilling and a more successful life, please contact me at www.garymiles.net, where you can schedule a free discovery call with me so I can learn more about you, your challenges, and your dreams. I appreciate each and every one of you, and have a great rest of your day. Thanks to all of you for your support.